Victory in Grace proudly presents the following message in the Proverbs series by Dr. James A. Scudder, founder and senior pastor of the Quinton Road Bible Baptist Church.
All bread is not the same. As we go through Proverbs, point one is stay clear. Stay clear. That doesn't mean stay clear on the gospel. That means stay clear of things that could be sinful. All bread is not the same. There's good bread and there's bad bread. There's some bread that's poisonous. There's some bread that can give you a lot of trouble. We found out recently with something as harmless as spinach that if you eat certain spinach, you could get E. coli, and possibly 3 people have died with it, but over 100 people were sick with it. It was organic spinach. I think that's an amazing thing. And they haven't shared yet the real reason that happened, or if they have, I haven't heard it. They could have today. But all bread's not the same. Sometimes there's some bread that can be poisonous. So Proverbs 4, 15 and 16, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Stay away from these wicked people. You know, there's some people that you just don't want to run around with. There's some people that I don't want to be with for a second. You know, when I went with a certain person, and I went one time on a duck hunting trip, and I said, listen, I know this is a little difficult for you, but here's some requirements. And you say, well, how can you do that? Well, I'm a pastor, and I am going to do it. I said, there cannot be any cussing, or there cannot be any worldly music. And the man held to that, and I led him to Christ. Now, you can't always do that. You have to avoid. Now, I knew this was a good man, and I knew this man was a man of his word, and I didn't want to get myself in a bad position. I just didn't want to go there. I didn't want to spend 2 days with somebody, and they start telling dirty jokes, or they start swearing all the time, or they start whatever, or they're playing music that just would not be what I would call appropriate. And we've got to always be careful. You know, if I go somewhere, I don't tell everybody if I'm somewhere and they're all not with me. I don't tell them they shouldn't drink. Although I hate drinking, I detest it because I see what it does to people. And I detest it. But, you know, that's not something for me to tell. And, you know, I have a person out by me and I know they're Christian, but they have all the Halloween stuff up. Well, that's none of my business. So I'm not going to say anything to them. I don't like to celebrate Halloween. I don't make a big deal about it, and don't you. Don't you condemn people, give out tracts. But I'm not going to do anything. That's not my business. That's just not my business. But it is my business how I keep myself clean. And that is my business. And I don't want to get into situations that I shouldn't get into. In verse 16, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief. Now, this was also discussed last week, but it's still different. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause someone to fall. There's people that their whole goal is to get you to fall. And when they find out that you're a Christian, especially if they find out you go to Quinton Road Bible Baptist Church, they're going to try to get you to fall. Especially if you have any standards at all. They're going to want to get you to fall. And you can't allow that to happen. And they can't even go to sleep unless they've helped someone to fall. You say, how could people get that way? Well, believe me, friends, there's a whole lot of people that are that way. There's a whole lot of people that their whole job is to get someone to fall. I heard a man talking the other day. I certainly wouldn't talk this way. And he said his wife went to the beauty parlor, and he said she was there for 2 solid hours. And he said that was just for an estimate. He said, and then she got some mud packs put on, and she looked great for 2 days until the mud packs fell off. And that was one of the men sitting here tonight. It got quiet, didn't it? Oh, the man. Ah, was that me? No, it wasn't anybody here. Well, see, you know, this is a statement that we see in Proverbs, and it's a general statement. This isn't what we call a 100% statement. It's not a doctrinal statement. It's a general statement. Some of you could be placed in a situation that you have nothing to do and you can't help it, and God would have to protect you through it. Someone could, say, be captured in the army, and they could be put in a prison, and they could be subjected to things that they have no control over, and we'd have to get protection. But this is a general statement, and this statement is almost 100% true. That we're to run away and avoid certain things. So be careful. You know, we should make decisions. You know, a lot of you, most of you, I would think, are fairly well with your finance. Some of you aren't, but most of you are. And, you know, I just heard the other day, they were saying, we need to teach all of our kids in high school to have a checking account and balance a checkbook. And they say these kids are going off to college and they've never balanced a book and they're getting all messed up and the pressure's put on them to go buy all this stuff and charge it and charge it and charge it, and they've never known what it is to pay for something. I was with my grand girls yesterday and my son, and he said both the girls, Amy and Erica, he said they've got a savings account and they have to balance it. I said, well, that's great. And, you know, isn't it something, we could produce people that are even high up in the different mass and they can't balance a checkbook? But some of us are so careful, and some people are so exactly careful, and you've got a savings for everything there is. Now, you ought to have a lot of savings. Some of you can overdo this to the point you become stingy. But, you know, they have a savings for this and a savings for that, and they have a savings when their Kleenex box is empty that they go buy a new one. Now, that's a little too much. But you do that. And yet, when it comes to things that are eternal, the things that count the most, you don't do it. And you don't do it with your children. And you're more concerned about now than you are later. Now, how do I know what I just said is truthful? Because you will all believe that even before you die. Because as you get closer to die, you'll know that what I just said is true. And you know what I said is true now, but some of you will bypass it with your mind and not pay any attention to what I just said. The duty that I've just discussed is not pleasing to the natural person. Your first nature does not like that. And you're never going to suit down to the natural man what I just said, because they're never going to accept it. The natural man in the world will never accept that we should give 100% to our Lord and Savior. The world will never accept that you should even give 10% to our Lord and Savior. They think you're crazy to give. And yet it's a proven fact that those that give have more than those that don't. I've actually read that. Even in the Wall Street Journal had an article about that. As you all remember, some of you remember. The world says you're crazy. The world says you're crazy. What, do you want wisdom or do you not? And, you know, society, if they know someone won't compromise, someone says, how do you break away from your friends you've had forever? Believe me, if you don't have a compromising position, they don't want to run with you. I haven't ever had anybody want to run with me out in that world. They just, even my neighbors, hi, close the door. The lights always go out. I'm kidding, but I've never had anybody want to run with me. You know, all the people that leave the church and want to call everybody, they never call me. I mean, I'm a nice guy. They only call the ones that they know they can get a sympathetic ear. Anyone that gets called tells you that they're not really there with it, are they? They're not avoiding. They're not staying away from. And there's certain people that we do need to avoid, and we do need to stay away from. See, all bread's not the same bread. Now, I can't tell you, and it'd be impossible for you to avoid all separation from all evil. You know, the Bible says you'd have to go out of the world to do that. You can't avoid everything. Goodness, it'd be impossible. When you have something at work, and, you know, you're always asking me, well, should I do this or should I go that? And I say sometimes just go, just don't partake. And just be friendly and talk to people and then kind of sneak out. But be friendly. Always be friendly. If you just be friendly, you'll get a lot of ways in this world that you can't get unless you're friendly. In 1 Corinthians 5:10, this is what I just said. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for they you must needs go out of the world. If you could never even sit with an idolater, there's people in this room that are idolaters. There's some people, I don't think so, you wouldn't be here tonight, but there's people possibly that Sunday morning maybe that would rather see the Bears than to come to church. Obviously, it's not you. You're here tonight. Now, would you have been here tonight if it was Super Bowl Sunday and it's the Bears? Well, if you wouldn't be, you're an idolater. You really mean that, Pat? Oh, yeah, I really do. It's not what I mean. It's the truth. Whatever you put over Christ is not a really good thing. Not a really good thing. Well, the professing church. There's a lot in the church that are professing. I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the world church. You can't even separate from everything in those churches. There's people that I wouldn't get on a platform with, but I will say hi to them, and I will talk to them, but I won't get on a platform with them. You see the difference? I hope you do, because that's a true statement. We can converse with sinners for their good. You can talk to people for their good. If you couldn't do that, you couldn't go out and witness, could you? But the difference with is that we don't comply in their lifestyle. That we don't comply in their lifestyle. That we're nice, we're friendly, we smile, we care. When they're in trouble, they know we'll help them. But we don't comply in that lifestyle, and we're to avoid it. One of the husbands came up to me today and said, well, Pastor, my wife, she's into buying anything marked down. I said, really? Anything marked down, she'll buy. The other day, she bought an escalator. Psalm 1, 1 through 6, that we're getting our answer from the king. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. They are like chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Does that mean unsaved and saved? No, that means sometimes saved. And I'll tell you, God tells you right there what it's going to be like. When you're ungodly, everything you're going to do, you say, but I'm having happiness. You don't have happiness very long. And you will not have what the ones that are godly will have. Now, I can speak from 35 years of experience in this same church. The godly are blessed and the ungodly are cursed. And I know that to be a total fact. And every one of us ought to say, I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. And if I were to say, how many of you want to be blessed? Every hand in here go up. But sometimes we don't realize that. Especially young people. You know, young people, sometimes, we're going to discuss that a little bit, but this is kind of directed toward young people. It's directed to all people, but it's kind of directed to young people. When you're young, they want to destroy the tenderness of our conscience. They want you to neglect your soul. And when you can destroy the tenderness of conscience, your blessings are going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And we've all got to be careful that we just don't allow that to happen in our lives. When we have communion with our Maker, we have blessings upon blessings. In Asia, the difference in Proverbs of Asia from the world and Proverbs of the Bible, most Proverbs that were gathered from archaeologists from other sources other than the Bible were always focused on sex and were gross. But the Proverbs of the Bible were always focused on morality and were not gross. You know, Proverbs chapters 1 through 9 is discussion of wisdom. Wisdom brought out to where we can see it in a person. Then Proverbs 10 through 31 includes several collection of proverbs which involves application of this wisdom to many life situations. A commentator has said this section contains the philosophy of the practical life. And we're going to see more of that. It says avoid it. Shun the appearance of evil. Pass not by it, neither for the sake of worldly gain or because other people are pushing you to do it. Stay away from it. Avoid it. If through unwatchfulness or unfaithfulness, stay away from sin. Speed from it. Run from it with all that you have. Get the utmost distance from it. Be scared of it. Be scared to even come near it. Adam Clark, in his commentary, he says this. He makes two claims. First, wisdom yields better returns than money. That is, wisdom is a better investment than silver or gold because she never fails to pay interest. And then two, time spent in gaining her is never lost. Second, wisdom is more precious than the greatest wealth the world has ever known. Adam Clark. Everything else, you can't. You know, gold is going to, oh, buy gold, gold. Now the gold's coming down. All the gurus didn't realize we were going to have a gasoline glut. People desire money because they want to have beautiful possessions. I was in a house this week, and they had some of the most gorgeous pictures of the West I've ever seen. In every room, there's four or five personally, beautifully original pictures of the West. Pictures of cowboys, pictures of mountains, and pictures of this and pictures of that. And I said, man, that's gorgeous. And it was gorgeous. But those pictures are not going to last. It's not wrong to have them. But it's wrong to say, that's what my life is. And I'm not saying that is with them at all. I don't know. They may be more into Christ than we are. I have no idea. But I'm just saying that. People got to be careful. So we see these divisions. Let me tell you something, and I want you to get this. It's very important for you to get this. It's easier for the healthy to become diseased by communication with the sick than for the sick to be restored to health with communications to the healthy. You believe that? You know, if I go visit a hospital room that's got contagious diseases, and you see the signs, no one is to go in there. And if you go in there, you're going in at your own risk. And when you see the doctors or nurses, they go in and they're covered and they got masks on. And the healthiest person on earth may go in there, and they're not going to give those people health, but the people that have the disease might give you the disease. You got it? Now, most of the time, and I say most of the time, good people get drawn down by bad people. Now, sometimes it's not always the case, because there are some people strong enough that they can bring bad people up. But most of the time, 90% of the time, it's bad people bringing the good people down. The younger you are, the percentage gets even greater. You see it? That's what it is most of the time. A man recently, you know, in midlife crisis, and he bought himself the red sports car. Now, there's nothing, if you have a red car, I'm not talking about you. We showed a film once here, and some guy had gone away from God, and he bought a red sports car, and you know, it had a good point. And then, you know, for a long time, my wife and I had a red Volkswagen, and I got a thing in the offering that said they couldn't believe that I could have a red Volkswagen and have a red sports car. Avoid those kind of people. Anyway, this guy and his 12-year-old son, when they got to visit the grandparents, said, yeah, Dad is going through his midlife crisis. He got a new sports car. And the grandfather said, well, what about you? He said, I want to have my midlife crisis when I'm 16. When do you want to have it? So let's be careful. The falsehood should have a missionary spirit, and we should go after what's false, but we should be careful not to go after it so much that we become and begin to believe that. If you're all of a sudden running around and someone, you're becoming friends with somebody, they're not a Christian, and they don't have any of your positions, and you're all of a sudden starting to run with them, it's just a matter of time before you fall. Now, I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in this room. I probably am. I'm probably talking to somebody. I don't know that I'm talking to anybody. No one's told me about anybody. But usually when you preach something, there's a reason that you're preaching it, and it's from God. You say, well, how about all my old friends? Well, friends, I got news for you. When I was at the University of Kentucky and I trusted Christ, it didn't take very long till my friends were avoiding me. I didn't have to tell them I want to avoid you. I just, every time they were with me, I'd witness to them about Christ, and they started avoiding me. I'd see them, you know, I'd be coming down the campus, and they'd see me. I'd just see them kind of going the other direction real quick. It doesn't take long. You can figure it out. Point two, night or day, it's up to you. It's up to you. You have to make that choice, that decision. You have to make it. In Proverbs 4:17-18, for I eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Those that are serving, it gets better and better and better. Those of you that have stuck it out and you're still in the church, and some of you have been here 34 years, 35 years, you know, whatever. And some of you have been here 30 years, 20 years, and you've stuck it out, and your life is getting better and better and better. And you're just getting blessed more and more and more. And it's just one of the great blessings. Peace is essential to happiness. And if you don't have peace in your soul, you cannot be happy. The principles that this speaks of, happiness can never be realized by the ungodly. You say, well, I've seen ungodly seem awful happy. That's because you're not with them all the time. I went to look at some hotel rooms for next year's Grace Conference in case we have an overflow. And the guy that I met took me around. His face was flushed red. I know he drinks all the time. And he put on that happy act. I guarantee you he's not that happy. Because when you drink that much, you can't be that happy. It's impossible. And there's plenty of people here that are struggling with that right now. And they'll tell you it's true. All nature is full of enemies to him that hath not God for his friend. If God's not your friend, everything you do, you're going to face enemies. I'd be very careful. Very careful. I'd make the right choice when I'm young. You know, the reason sometimes we don't want to make that pace to God is because we've got that mistaken notion that the world out there has something to offer. You know, we have our teenagers, and some of them go through life, and they never, ever try to venture out in the world, and God blesses them. Some do. And praise God, they can always come back and do, and God still uses them and blesses them and helps them. But it's better never to have ventured. And those that have ventured will tell you it's better to not have ventured. Now, those that don't come back, they get themselves so to being like this, that what this is talking about. And we just have to keep praying and praying and praying and praying. And we have to be more and more careful all the time when we have these particular things. In 1 Corinthians 8:2, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Do you think you know anything? You know, the amazing thing is I've seen people that they'll come to church, they'll read 3 or 4 books, and they think they're scholarly. Now, most of them don't even have a degree, but they think they're scholarly. And they think they just know, and they'll come up and they'll say, I got a few questions for you, Pastor. Wow. You do? Yeah, I just want to know. What do you think? Blah, 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 blah. You know? And their spirit is not the spirit of asking, which I love for people to ask, but their spirit is telling. The spirit is telling how much they know. And you want to say, well, you need to read 1 Corinthians 8:2. If any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. Some of our smartest people would tell you they don't know much, but they do know a lot. Sometimes when I hear them talking to people, I'm just amazed at how good they are. But they would tell you they don't know anything. In Galatians 6:3, for if any man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Do you think you're something? Oh, I'm really something. I got news for you. None of us are anything compared to Christ. All life is progress. Usually, it's quiet progress, but progress. Stagnation is death. You know, you don't stand still in the Christian life. If you're not growing, you're sliding backwards. Our life is either a halt, a return, or a pressing forward. But it's not standing still. So here we are in our twilight, but we're in a state of glorious preparation for the eternal, everlasting life. We're emerging from the shadow of death until we get to that glorious light as we stand before Him. We don't know how long any of us have. Cindy Holler was going to the Edwards wonderful banquet that they had Friday night. She's never been in an accident in her life. And a woman pulls out in front of her. Cindy, are you even here? How are you feeling? How quick did that accident happen? You didn't know you were going to have an accident until you were in an accident, right? You just don't know how quick you're going to have an accident. And, you know, I was thinking of, now, I'm not saying it won't happen. You know, we teach our people, wear seatbelts, wear seatbelts, wear seatbelts. But of all of our people in 35 years, no one has ever been seriously hurt in a car accident. We've had a lot of cars being totaled. I'm not going to have you raise your hand. We'd probably get insurance canceled on all of you. But no one has ever been. Now, I'm not saying it couldn't be. I'm just saying no one has. And I give all that credit to God. And seatbelts. You have to wear seatbelts.
I don't like seatbelts.
Don't be dumb. And if you are that dumb, don't open your mouth and say it. Well, I'd rather be thrown out of the car. I don't want to burn up in it. I got news for you. If you've been thrown out of a car, you'd rather be burned up in it. it'd be a lot less painful. We're growing. We'll see that someday. Listen to her. We have family bonds. If a young person goes wrong, he hurts himself, he hurts the parents, he or she. But those people that live for crime, it's their food, their drink, and their sleep. They do not commit crimes in order to live, but they live in order to commit crimes. You don't want to be part of that. You don't want to be part of anybody that's like that. But they don't go tell you, hey, my job is to wreck you. They're not going to tell you that. And they'll never tell you that. Look at 1 Peter 3, 13 through 14. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? And if you suffer for righteous sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. In other words, if you're suffering for righteous sake, happy are ye. Happy are you. If you're suffering for your own stupidity, if you're suffering because you can't control your credit card, don't blame God. And if you can't control, if you have to just spend and spend, I had no money. If you don't have any money, don't put it on a credit card because you still don't have any money and now you're worse off. You're paying a percent of what you don't have. You say, how am I going to make it? How am I going to eat? I got news for you. God will take care of you if you'll just stop doing it. We have a God that takes care of us. And he provides for us. And we can say that we know that he does that. See, as he draws near, as we serve him, listen, the Christian life gets better and better and better. I heard a psychologist in the radio say that it's proven fact that as you get older, you learn to control your emotions. Now, some people don't, and they lose control, but most people learn to control their emotions as they get older. And you learn how to keep yourself more focused. Again, that's not everybody, but some people. And there's more truth to that in the Christian life than any other life because you've got the past to look back to and see how God has always taken care of you. He's always taken care of you. You know, I'm still amazed at what we have here at this church. We had a beautiful pony given to us, and it came today. And I went over to see it. It's a beautiful black. It's actually a small horse, but I guess it's considered a pony. And it's just beautiful. It's black. But we got to all this. And I was coming around after seeing the pony, and I was just saying, Lord, how did you give us all this? How did you do it? But he did it. And we give him all the credit for it. You know, sometimes you're going to do everything right and you're still going to suffer wrongs you didn't do. Jesus did. But if you put yourself in the right position and you're like the Apostle Paul, and when he wrote Philemon, he was in jail, and the word actually means he was handcuffed to a Roman soldier, and he had all the blessings. There was once a famous man, and he said, I'm in prison, but I'm in God's royal palace. I'm in God's royal palace. But he was in prison for things of God. He said, I've been taken care of royally. Now, I don't know if I'll ever have that kind of strength. I hope I will. When I see the Apostle Paul's life, I say, man, I don't know if I could ever be that good. I hope I can. I don't know that I can. Boy, but he never let anything upset him. And sometimes we get upset over things that aren't that important. We have to use him as our example. If we truly desire to serve God, the company of the wicked will be offensive to us. You won't want it if you truly desire to serve God. You know, when I was a teenager, I listened to all the same music. I never wanted to. I've never wanted to. That's the truth. When I'm alone by myself in the car, I'm not tempted to listen to what I used to listen to. You say, oh, you are? No, I've got plenty of other sins. Believe me, I got plenty of other ones, but that's not one. I'm just not tempted. And, you know, it should be offensive. The just are those who the sun of righteousness shines on. As he's drawn near and he sees more and more light, he will find himself or herself closer to God. All bread's not the same bread. The believer is likened to the light. The Christian growth, like all growth, is gradual. You know, when I see someone growing too fast, I do get a little nervous. Now, I'm not telling you don't grow fast. I'm just telling you don't put a lot of stake in someone that grows too fast, because a lot of times they don't stick it out. But when you first start serving Christ, you're going to have all kinds of things come on you. The devil doesn't want you to serve. The Christian growth is gradual. And we have to persevere, not to be saved, but as a disciple. Remember, the wicked is darkness, all is error, all is perplexity. Everything they do is not going to help them. They're going to go downhill and downhill and downhill. But the youth, oh, the devil wants to come against the youth. He's at the stage of life which passions are strong, judgments are weak. Sometimes our minds just don't have what it takes to make wise decisions, and we want to be unregulated and uncontrolled. And this is right where the old devil wants to come in. And listen, young people, let me share this. That's the time to be most afraid, to be most ready to run, to be most ready to get away. If you search the Scriptures, you'll see that all Christians don't obtain the same perfection. Now, heaven is perfection, but there's going to be people in heaven who have a larger capacity than others to receive the wonders of heaven. And your larger capacity is not how smart you are on this earth, but it's how much you've done for Christ while you're on this earth. And that will affect you throughout all eternity. Now, again, I want to say heaven is perfect, but there's going to be people in heaven with a lot larger capacity to receive the things of God than those that don't have a large capacity. Light stands the emblem of three things: knowledge, purity, and joy. The Christian life is capable of increasing in all these things. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Do you believe that? That's what it says. Knowledge, purity, and joy. You can increase in all those things. Your life can get better and better and better. Or you can decide not to serve, and you'll have a miserable life. I think most of you believe that I'm a truthful person. Let me tell you, I have never seen it any different. It always has been that way. I've never seen a sinful person ever blessed. And I've never seen a godly person ever cursed. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I hope you do. All bread is not the same. Do you believe that? All bread is not the same. Let me show you this little illustration. This billfold represents sin. This hand right here represents you and me. And God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. This hand right here represents the Lord Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. If you could be as righteous as God, you'd go to heaven, couldn't you? Sure could. He's paid our sin debt. If he's paid it, we don't have to. It's been paid at Calvary. Mary Joyce.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Dr. Scudder. For more information about our ministry or to order additional resources, please visit our website, www.victoryingrace.org, or call 1-800-78-GRACE.